So today we'll have only one class, maybe by 6:15 or 6:30 latest. Basically we'll complete this chapter, and tomorrow is in Savitri Bhavan. And we are on this chapter on memory, ego and self-experience. So what this chapter is about is, as I said, Aurobindo, both the influence of Shankara and the influence of Buddha has been very strong on the Indian psyche. So without mentioning much about it, though he does mention, so according to the modern understanding of what Buddha said, not that Buddha meant this or said this, is that it's a string of memories to which we are attached, and we use the word self. There is no self. But this itself is not a very convincing argument, and that's what Aurobindo is trying to show us by another counter reason. So we would normally say that yesterday I was angry, but today I am not angry. So are these two different self or one self? Any person with normal state of mind will say yes, it's the same self. So what carried that? No, I'm not talking of the deeper self, just as at the level of the mind. So what carries from here to there is memory. That's how it is understood, string of memory. I was, I am, I was angry, I am not angry, or I am happy. That memory of a certain association is carried. But is this the only truth? So he goes deeper. So there is a very fascinating phenomena which Aurobindo speaks about. I have seen actually instances like that, where a person completely forgets what happened at a point of time, leads a totally different life. This is ordinarily called as double personality. And each personality has its own. Now, ordinarily people have many layers of personality and many personalities. In fact, the more complex we are, the more the number of personalities. That is how it is described, that a very developed person would have 360 personalities, like a year. So each one knows one part of the personality. That's why very often we hear the refrain, oh, you have to live with the person to know. Basically, there is one personality which is outside, one which is here, one which is there. So there are many personalities, and it's not, on the contrary, it's the sign that you have gone through many lives, and that's what the being is, very complex. But there are instances where a personality is completely forgotten when the person is in another personality. And there are classic instances which we hear about a person who was doing a nice job, and he was actually a truck cleaner. And there are two instances, so I'll speak about the truck cleaner. And then he suddenly vanished. And then one day somebody spotted him, that he was in a temple here in Chidambaram. And he was just sitting there begging alms and living on that. But he had no recollection at all of that past. And an even more fascinating case was of a person who was a priest. He went on holiday or whatever, that I'll go for some time. And then he forgot completely that he was a priest. Very convenient forgetting, or a very inconvenient forgetting, depends on how we look at it. Because he got married. So very difficult to say which was a better option. But nevertheless, he got married, he had children, he totally forgot, apparently, that I was ever a priest. Till someone met him and reminded him, oh, are you sure? And then eventually it was discovered that yes. And he had actually forgotten. These are not... Similarly, memory operates in very interesting, it's a very fascinating subject. So for example, there are memories which are buried inside, and in a state of hypnosis they will come out. Suddenly many things which are buried inside will come out. But in our own historical spiritual context, we have a classical story. The classical stories of King Dushyant and Shakuntala. So Dushyant has come, he has lost his way and doesn't know how to go back in. He's very thirsty, hungry. So he enters the ashram of Kanva Rishi, where he meets Shakuntala, and she greets him and gives him a nice treat, and he has it. And after some time, she asks him that you can rest and go tomorrow. And he rests and they fall in love with each other. He gives her a ring. Even she gets, a baby through him. But baby will be later on. But so next day then, or couple of days, he has to go. So he says that I am going, but I'll very soon go back and send a marriage party and take you. It's a very fascinating story actually, which has been immortalized by not only Kalidas, Abhigyan Shakuntalam, but even Sri Aurobindo speaks about it. And different people have written about this story. So she waits and he doesn't come back. So as an aside, there is a very interesting aspect of what India was in those days. So her father means foster father, because she was found under a tree, Shakuntala. So the father, Kanva Rishi, doesn't say, oh, what a horrible woman you are not worthy of, nothing. She says, bring up the child, he will come, take you, and it's okay. Gandhar Viva was an accepted norm. Out of 8 types of marriages, Gandhar Viva was one of them. 6 were valid, and Gandhar Viva was among the valid. The 2 types of marriages which were not valid were when you do under drug, or sometimes as they do in Bihar, under force. So these were invalid. By like law they were invalid. But Gandhar Viva was valid. We see Savitri Satyavan, Gandhar Viva, when all the nature is around and they get married. So he says it's perfectly fine, and then she waits and waits, he doesn't come. The child is born and grows up, and then one day he says, no, you must go and reclaim. So how does the whole thing come? Because he had lost the ring. And while going through on a river, and the ring had fallen, and a fish had swallowed it, and the fisherman had cut open, found the ring, and somehow it reaches Shakuntala. So then she takes the ring, and the king doesn't remember anything. He genuinely doesn't remember. And she tells him everything, but he cannot remember. Then she takes out the ring. Do you remember this? Oh my God, yes. See the importance of marriage ring, okay? So she carries the rings. She says, there were no photographs that time. She says, everything comes back, and he feels so sorry and sad, and they get together. So there are things which trigger memories, and they are associated with personalities. So the question is, what coordinates these memories and weaves them together as one person's personality? Maybe even in one life. Why do I say that I was angry yesterday and I am not angry today? Now there comes that this is not an act of memory. Memory is only a recording fact. It only records and registers. So what is coordinating? So that's where Sri Aurobindo says, and if we know the background of the Buddhist teaching, we'll understand why he's saying so. That there is a self which is coordinating all these things and saying that this is still me. All the different personalities, still me. So that's not memory. Memory is like different experiences or different actions which are registered, stored. But there is a self which keeps them together, and that is the self. So there is memory is not the self. There is a self. Now then he speaks about 2 kinds of selves. One is which is only in this life. Usually from childhood, maybe 2 year, 3 year, 4 year old. And then extends to maybe till one gets either demented or one goes. So that's where the memory. So this is the memory of the ego self experience. But there are memories which are deeper. And these memories, often we hear story of past life memories. Now many of them are not really, they don't prove a self to begin with. They simply mean that after death there is something which survives. Past like memory does not prove that there is God, there is self, which is very true. Sri Aurobindo says that. It only means that everything is not destroyed by death. So physical death means personality, maybe like an energy. That's why Buddha's explanation is so fascinating, and why it attracts the mind. That, well, he says, yes, there is a rebirth. When the body dies, the energy continues.
Energy continues, it forms formations, and this formation comes back simply because, you know, there is someone who is in a receptive state to that formation, catches it. So that is how the formations continue. It's not the same person. There is no same person. And you get an illusion that you are a person simply because you are remembering something. It's I have remembered it with an example when I was reading the text that, well, you threw a stone, because it's happened with me once. Somebody threw a stone at a mango tree, and I felt that the stone is going to fall on my head. So I moved and moved and moved, and plop, the stone fell on my head. Real life experience. So the person who had thrown was shocked. I was taken to their home and they put all the ice and gave me nice ice cream. So I also feigned a little more that, okay, I am hurt. But basically, some energy formation catches hold of someone. And you believe it's me in my past life. There is no self and there is no past life. But there is a so-called rebirth. Rebirth of those energy formations which are going on. It's very interesting. It leaves many questions unanswered. So we'll not go into that because we want the complete answer. And that's what Sri Aurobindo says. But there is the true psychic memories are not like that. They are very interesting, like glimpses suddenly which takes place. And the classical instance is somebody comes to the samadhi and says, this is home. Why you feel this is home? But there is something which declares itself from the past, from the soul. It's a soul's experience. Maybe it's original experience that it finds its master and says, here is my parents, my everything, my ultimate. So these are the facets of memory which Sri Aurobindo is unraveling for us. But first, finally, he gives the complete thing to the Buddhist nihilists, page 530, who say that behind this nihil, there is experience of knowledge without a knower. Experience of being without an existent. There are simply a number of elements, parts of a flux without a real whole, which combine to create the illusion of knower and knowledge and the known. This is how the Buddhist teaching ultimately takes you. There is no house. There is no owner of the house. But you have got attached. That's why the importance of getting detached and enter into nirvana. The illusion of an existent and existence and the experience of existence. Or they can conclude that time is the only real existence and they themselves are its creatures. So time is flowing, there are certain things come up, we attach and we think this is me. Then time flows and that is gone. Memory keeps you connected, but actually that is gone completely. The conclusion of an illusory existent in a real or unreal world is as inevitable to this kind of withdrawal as is the opposite conclusion of a real existence, but an illusory word to the thinker. So again he is putting in of Shankara, who says there is a real existent, illusory world. Buddha didn't bother about what the world is. He said the self itself is illusory. Doesn't matter whether the world is real or unreal. He didn't enter into this metaphysical debate. He says it's of no importance. The problem is you are suffering. You are suffering because you carry this idea that I am real. But there is no existent. Sounds very strange, but that's how ultimately it points towards. And that's why you see, Buddhism could never take roots in India. It took roots all over the world. And many people like this idea, there is no God. There is no self. It's all energy. It takes hold of the Western mind. But in India, if you say this, it like intuitively carry the sense of the divine. So, well, this is where he stops and then he speaks about. But let us look a little at this surface consciousness without theorizing, studying it only in its facts. We see it first as a purely subjective phenomena. So what is the subjective phenomena? Things are shifting. If you have to really describe anything outwardly, so you will say, I came, somebody came, and this person got
he shouted certain words at me. These words were of this nature, like a robo. You know, there's a difference between AI and human. Now, what is the subjective side? I got angry. I felt insulted. So, it is this ultimately which is carrying the sense of the I. You remove it like a robo. Same thing is happening. But a robo is not reacting or responding. He is reacting only. That's why there was a film, very interesting, in new film, where Shahid Kapoor's son, his father, Pankaj Kapoor's son, he falls in love with a girl, but actually it's not a girl, she's a robo. And then, but here they show something very interesting, which doesn't happen. She gets suddenly, there is a different button which gets clicked, and she destroys everything at the end of the day. Very nice movie to caution that, you know, when we are going into the robotic world, we should remember that. So there is a constant rapid shifting of time point which it is impossible to arrest for a moment. So what really links these time points is memory. So they are time points. And then there is the subjective sense of I. Otherwise what? You'll say, no, he came and he was shouting and saying some words. You can even say the words. So what? So because there is no sense of self, so what? So this is how they describe. But we see that the mental being only regards all this mutation so far as it produces effects upon its own mental consciousness, generates impression and changes in its mental experience and mental body. So if it was only an event which is memorized, there would be no problem. But there is an I. Where is the I? Mind. You can't locate it. You can't pinpoint, but it attaches and therefore it carries it. And then the whole drama starts. So animals, very interestingly, higher animals remember, and they remember. One of the beautiful things about memory is it's not just as a event, but event plus emotion, plus thought. And therefore the triggers that you see somebody who is not here anymore, but after many years you meet someone. Now, in the normal thing, it's about the ex. So what happens with the ex? That a lot of fight and everything has happened. So they have said, but there are many beautiful things which are connected. And when there is a meeting with the ex or whatever, why? Suddenly all this is triggered. What is triggered up? Many of the surface things are gone. But what is triggered is the deeper elements of the personality which were associated. So that's why life is so complex. So this is where. Now in animals this is not so. So higher animals remember, but lesser animals don't. So all this change of circumstance. So what is happening is circumstances are changing. By circumstances, not just the way we understand. Everything, every moment, circumstances are changing. So all this change of circumstances summed up in philosophical language as causality. For in this stream of the cosmic movement, the antecedent shift seems to be the cause of a subsequent state, or else this subsequent state seems to be the result of a previous action of persons. It explains many things. Oh, you know, I got angry. Why? Because he spoke like that. But if you look closely, you will discover that this is the experience that one had been probably having. And now when something similar comes, it triggers a whole set of memories and we react, because there is a self which is associated with. Sometimes it can be simply with faces. There are phobias of that kind. People are afraid. They see a certain face and they react very strongly. Nothing wrong with the person or with the face. But it is a kind of buried memory as a child, and it triggers certain emotions. We don't understand how it has come. So all these are about causality. So don't blame anyone. Blame yourself if you want to. And why blame? Say that, well, this is a play of nature. I don't want to be a creature bound by nature. And separate oneself. That's why. Because otherwise we'll continue. Even if somebody says something good or nice,
You will interpret. People interpret. Ah, I know why you are doing good to me. You are trying to now fool me. Whereas nothing, nothing of that sort. The person may be genuinely feeling what the person is feeling. But that memory to which one has holds on, like a, what holds on? The ego self. So these are two different things. And very tightly. And that triggers a reaction and falsifies the whole thing. So that's how the mind operates. So there is, and it's objective experience of the ever-changing environment. So there is the subjective experience of the ever-modified mental states of its personality and its objective experience of the ever-changing environment, which seems partly or wholly the cause and is yet at the same time itself affected by the workings of that personality. That's why, what is the treatment? So when we love God, truly, so what happens? Now we slowly, all our mind begins to change. Change into something of the substance of the divine. Then our reaction changes, no more based on the past association, which is just continuing. So that's how we break the knot of karma. That's very logical. How to break the knot of karma? This way. So when we turn toward the divine, genuinely, with sincerity, with aspiration, and something of that divine consciousness begins to touch us. Now when the same event is taking place, that trigger, cause and effect is no more there. Because a totally new personality has emerged in us. So we know that earlier I used to be like this. But now it is no more the same. That is how the change takes place. That's the logic. Here the past played by memory increases greatly its importance. For while all that it can do for the mind with regard to its direct self-consciousness is to remind it that it existed and was the same in the past as in the present, it becomes in our differentiated or surface self-experience an important power linking together past and present experiences, past and present personality, preventing chaos and dissociation. Otherwise it will be too much, you know, like was that real or this is real. So it sort of gives a coherence. But he reminds us, it is not the memory alone which constitutes the ego sense. Memory is only a mediator between the sense mind and the coordinating intelligence. So this is what we have to remember. So this is where the Buddhist theory ends, and this, that self is not just an association of memories, but there is something else also. This is what Sri Aurobindo is hinting. A little analysis will make this apparent. We have in all functioning of the mentality four elements: the object, whatever is the event taking place; the act of mental consciousness, it is involved with the event and drawing conclusions; the occasion; and the subject. So all kinds of possibility is there. The subject is completely drawn into the field, is identified with that. Or the subject can separate itself completely from the field and say, it's not me, but whatever else is happening around, and it will be completely unaffected. That's why witnessing Sakshi Bhav is one of the most powerful initial practices. And in Vipassana it is made the whole basis. Even if we cannot separate the entire consciousness, even if the mind can learn to separate and not react to everything there, because it triggers. It's like a cascade. So all this Sri Aurobindo reveals to us, but we'll come to practical parts. It is when I entirely detach the mental person from his act of self-experience. Self-experience is, I'm angry. So there is the object, somebody shouted. What is the self-experience? I'm angry. Somebody else may be happy that this person is angry at this person. See, there's nothing in the experience, in the shouting itself. It is how the self is viewing it. I am attached. So I get, and there also, if it is somebody very dear, you get hurt. If somebody somewhere, so you say, no, kutte bhuke hajar, hati chale bajar. Hati has nothing to do with a dog. And if there is a third person who is very annoyed with you, that somebody should give him, and X is shouting at Y, and there is Z who wants Y to be hurt, he feels very angry, happy. Same experience. He is saying, "Achha hua, dekha? Wo baat jo main na keh saka, jo wahan pe aa gayi kisi aur ke." So this is how he is describing to us how to understand this whole thing. It is when I entirely detach the mental person from this act of self-experience. Self-experience is I identify with the event and cause and become the anger. That I become fully aware first of the sheer ego which exists independent. This Sri Aurobindo is describing again, because there is a whole concept. We may not have read it, so it's okay, but otherwise we must understand. There are people who believe in that. And in the end of the witness self or the thinking mental perception. This is yet not the psychic witness. But at least in the mind there is a possibility of separating. Animals don't have that. But human beings have this. So then he says there is the same self. Not two self, you can either identify or you can separate. Sometimes after some time when people look back, there are always two kinds of people. One who will not step back, but they are carried on. Oh, that person is like, they formed an opinion. Another is after some time they step back, look at the whole thing. They see, yes, I also had contribution in it, and whatever it is, this is not the whole of the person. You see the totality. It is clear what is better. So when we separate and look at the whole thing, when it does get back to that deeper knowledge, it does not condemn the observed phenomenon as unreal, but it perceives an immutable being, energy or real substance, not phenomenal, not subject in itself to the senses. It sees at the same time a becoming or real phenomenon of that being energy of substance. And this is called phenomena. Okay, some simple example to understand this. So this is a joke actually, that somebody came to a friend's place to have, you know, whatever, some dine together. And then this man whose house he has come asked his friend that, what do you call that flower which has thorns on it? So he says, rose. Then he says, yes, rose dear, can you please? He has forgotten the name, but he remembers the flower. Now, ordinarily, you'll see two kinds of responses. Why, you know, when over a period of time, what happens? So in the beginning, if you forget something of that kind, then it is, this is what you have forgotten? Something beautiful that I did. What happens when you live with the same person for a long time? Ab bhulne ki aadat hai. You know this is not his true self. You have learned, you have disengaged, you have understood that, well, this is how he is. Maybe you accept it because you discover that there is a self which is other than all these phenomenal reactions, which is truer, more beautiful. And you see so many good hints we are getting here, even of relationship counseling, because this is how we normally react. It is this succession of experiences, and it is this fact of an indirect or secondary action of the experiencing consciousness under the conditions of a mentality that bring in the device of memory. So where is the role of memory? Memory is not the essence of persistent or continuous experience, even in the succession of time, and would not be necessary at all if our consciousness were of an undivided movement. It's because we are fragmented. Therefore, memory has to connect. If our consciousness, we could see continuously all the time the deeper truth, then we don't need memory to bridge it together. If it had not to run from moment to moment with a loss of direct grasp on the last and an entire ignorance or non-possession of the next. All experience or substance of becoming in time is a flowing stream. It's a beautiful image. Or sea.
the divided in itself, only divided in the observing consciousness by the limited movement of the ignorance, which has to leap from moment to moment like a dragonfly darting about on the surface of the stream. This is an experience we can have every day, very simply. We don't have to do anything. Several times, anybody can have it. At night, take a walk on the promenade. On a moon day, see the moon light falling on the sea. Observed it. When you're walking, you'll feel, here it is. You walk 100 steps, you'll again say, here it is. What is happening? You are moving. Isn't it? It's a typical phenomena which makes you aware of how things operate. Moonlight is the same. It is illumining the whole sea actually falling. Moonlight is not partial. Wherever you are going, jahan bhi jate ho, wahan chala aata hoon. Nahin. It is falling on the whole sea. You feel where you stand that, oh, there is a nice column of, you know. It is very interesting. At least I used to feel very fascinated that apart from understanding this, that, you know, how we all relate with the one in different ways. So each one believes the divine is only mine and my close to me. But every person out there is also feeling he is close to him. So as we walk, we see the same thing happening. So, this is one thing which he reminds us. Then, this continuity is not constituted by force of memory. Although memory may help to prolong or repeat the wave when by itself it would have died away into the stream. The wave simply occurs and continues as a movement of conscious force of my being carried forward by its own original impulsion of disturbance. So when we watch, this is a beautiful meditation and we are so fortunate in Pondicherry, it is right there. And anybody feels disturbed, watch just the ocean sea sitting on the promenade, you will be healed. Only make sure you don't walk into the sea. Wait for some time. Watch the waves rising, falling, rising. See how they are being moved. You have to think nothing, do nothing. It is tremendous, not only calming, sobering. No two waves are alike, yet each wave is as if it is the same. So it's very, very beautiful experience which is given to us. Only thing is they have not charged any money. I don't know if Pondicherry government started charging money. You want to do wave watching? Pay so much money. Then there is a problem. Okay, we can still climb on the roof and do wave watching. Okay. Memory comes in to prolong the disturbance by a recurrence of the thinking mind to the occasion of anger, or of the feeling mind to the first impulse of anger, by which it justifies itself in a repetition of the disturbance. We all have experienced this. And that's what Buddha's story. When somebody said, no, I was very angry at you, I am sorry. But he says that's gone. You're not the same person. I mean, if you could live like that, 99%, probably 100% problem will be solved. So this is how memory plays a role. But it is not the last thing. And everything is a habit. Everything. Like, I remember about one incident where I don't like any other food except Indian. At most I can take is, Indian is north, south, everything is fine. Except that pizza is fine. That by compulsion I had to like it, because in USA, after hunger, I was hunger stricken and I said, कहीं रुक के खाना खा ले. Oh, you're hungry. It's not India. So the flights don't serve you food. They don't serve you food even if you pay. It's a horrible atithi method. In India, you are pampered. No, you are used to getting food. If they don't serve you, you can pay and get it. So he stopped. Now, I was so hungry that it didn't matter where he is stopping. And there, the only thing was available was variety of pizzas. I had never eaten pizzas. That day, pizza was the tastiest food in the world. I didn't care what he is getting. He said, which variety? I said, get anything. And this broke completely. So what happens? See how memory functions. So if
somebody has called you or you are a guest and the person knows that you are not fond of a certain food and makes that food. Now, like a stupid person, you have drawn a judgment, but it's not true at all. It's not because you don't like that the food has been made. It's because there are other guests who probably, you know, want that food and it's whatever. Maybe there may be 100 reasons for it. But memory and the ego, they played together. Ah, dekha? Mere baare mein nahi socha. So this is the folly that we all make. And you know, if we learn to step back, otherwise we react. How do we react? With anger. So this is where Sri Aurobindo is reminding us. So memory, properly speaking, is merely the device by which the witnessing mind helps itself to link together these movements and their occurrence and recurrences in the successions of time for time experience. And it becomes such a problem, even as a doctor, you tell somebody that, you know, faith will cure. Acha, wo doctor kab aayenge? Because, no. Memory, you have fever, paracetamol helps. 1,000 times you have the experience that paracetamol helps. See how mother says it's all habit. Everything is habit. And the body will also react. If you don't give paracetamol, you say, okay, I'll try faith. Initially, the body will react. You know, paracetamol. Even if you mentally, paracetamol le liya na, kuch hoga, bukhar kaise jayega? I know of a doctor, actually, allopath doctor. Many of us may know him because he's in Pondicherry, who's also in the Ayush ministry. And he was sharing an experience. One day I was sharing this, you know, this is the state of people. He's 70. And he said, I'll tell you something. I am 70. I have never taken any medicine except once I took paracetamol because my fever was 107 and my wife insisted. So I took. I said, yes, exactly. Because this is, and he says that I don't believe, but I have to prescribe. Because if I don't do it, patients won't come. See how the habit in the mind and even in the body, because that's why now we are totally spoiled. All these children, when they grow up like this, it's very difficult because even the body reacts by habit. So memory, habit and reaction. So it just gets into a cycle and become very difficult to break it. So it's a device. So similarly, the ego sense is another device of mental ignorance by which the mental being becomes aware of itself. Not only of the objects, occasions and acts of his activity, but of that which experiences them. So you tell the person, nene, you don't really need, you know, Sri Aurobindo maa ne bola hai, faith se theek ho jayega. Bole, haan, wo malum mujhe, lekin main kya karun, what do I do, you know, I needed paracetamol. Are you didn't, probably you never needed paracetamol, but you have taken paracetamol. And it's very fascinating, it's an experiment one can do with oneself. I mean, of course, there are always limits to experiments. I had not so long ago, maybe December, a very severe knee pain, so much so I couldn't sit alti-palti. So I'm sitting on a little, even for the meditation, I couldn't bend and touch the samadhi. I said, dekhte hain kitna. So one day, I just wore the kneecap, one day. But I would continue everything, continuing to walk. Slowly, but I said, I'll not break my activity. It vanished. And today I was remembering, are kya hua pain ka when I am sitting quietly with alti palti. But if you go to a doctor, he will fix it. Fix it not in the sense of cure it. You have a problem, a serious problem. And then you go to the doctor again. Then every time you get healed, paradoxically it has got into the mind. And so what happens? Even when we open to the grace, it is through a doctor. And then fear will come in. No, 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 no. Dr. Pandey is a crazy person. Don't listen to him. Usko hoga to dekhenge. Chhod do mujhe. But this is how the mind will work. It won't leave you. People sometimes, because I experience it, no, when you tell them it'll be fine. Basically, I want them not to remember that most of these things will go away. And then they will go and say, there's no point in telling him no, because he just says everything will be all right. But there is a logic behind it. That logic goes, because this is how habit works. It's nobody's fault. Nobody is feeling bad. But it's the habit which keeps on. So one day I had to tell a person, every day I am trying that you forget about the illness. But you are reminded of. Reminding. So one day, actually I have seen people's chronic leg pains then suddenly vanishing. Simply because there is no attention being paid to it. What choice you have. Actually seen. So, but this is how everything is habit association, memory, continuing. Okay, but try it at your own risk. Don't quote me. Okay. Very simple. If you have fear, take medicine. Okay. Disclaimers are necessary, no? Degrees can be at risk. So, then he comes to the next. Okay. The importance of memory become apparent in the well-observed phenomena of double personality, which we are talking about, or dissociation of personality, in which same man has two successive or alternating states of his mind, and in each remembers and coordinates perfectly only what he was, and in each remembers and coordinates perfectly only what he was or did in that state of mind, and not what he was or did in the other. That explains many, many things that otherwise we can't understand. Is he the same person? Yes, he's the same person. He has two personalities? No, he has 4, 5, 6, 7. In my last posting in Jorhat in Air Force days, because we had a lot of time. So one day I was sitting and writing. How many personalities I have? I discovered 7. So I felt only 7, there must be more. So I went on discovering 9. And then you have to, one by one, effort at turning everything toward the Divine Mother and change it. And it's a fascinating process if we really understand it. Otherwise, unconsciously, we are moving every day, we are living, and things continue. It's amazing that in the same person, sometimes the opposite, mother speaks of it as the shadow. She says a person who is extremely brave and courageous and bold may be very fearful in another part of the being. Person who can fight a battle on the battlefield comes home and his wife says, ah, and then he says, kya hua? Because, you know, suddenly he is same person. Well, this is not how it is meant to be, but in another situation he can be extremely cowardly. It goes to that extent. Mother uses this, explains this in one of her talks on the shadow censors. They are all beautiful, that, you know, these shadows, Shobindo's letter, and to change these shadows is one of the work that we have to undertake. Okay, so there are number of personalities. There is a dissociation of memory occurs also without dissociation of personality. You actually don't remember. You remember. In Bangalore, we have stayed in one hotel for a few days. I just don't remember. I try to remember, but I can't remember. But there is the witness who knows that we stayed. But till date, I don't remember. And everything was beautiful. It is, but there is a complete dissociation. Even once in Bangalore, I tried to go past that, you know, let me, some memory will come, but I don't remember. So there are genuine instances. Not that people are saying that I don't remember. They genuinely don't remember. Because they are very complex. So this is the problem. You have to understand. So there may be dissociation of personality or may not be. As when a man in a state of hypnosis takes up a range of memories and experiences to which his waking mind is a stranger, but does not therefore think himself another person, or as when one who has forgotten the past events of his life and perhaps even his name still does not change his ego sense and personality. And there is possible to a state of consciousness in which, although there is no gap of memory, yet by a rapid development the whole being feels itself changed in every mental circumstance
and the man feels born into a new personality. This everybody who undertakes the path knows what it is. And it's very difficult. Practical example is many of the friends. Nowadays there is a system of, you know, batch group, your college and even school. They make, you know, groups and they expect that whenever you have get together or meeting, they call. Now you remember. But there is no connection. You are a different person altogether. There is no connection at all. What do you do when you go? But for others, you are probably the same person. They expect like that, okay, he has become taken to a little bit spiritual life. Thoda tha, pehle bhi pagal tha, abhi pura ho gaya, lekin koi baat nahi, he is the same fellow. But you are not the same fellow. Your personality has completely changed. And this also happens. And this is an experience many of us are aware of. And you just can't connect that way. You remember that there is this person I know very well. You'll probably go and have a cup of tea out of courtesy. But there is no correspondence between the two. The ego sense is only a preparatory device and a first basis for the development of real self-knowledge in the mental being. So ego sense is me as this little personality or this person is coordinating. But even here there can be a complete change of personality. But it is evident that a self-knowledge based on the separative ego sense is imperfect, and that no knowledge founded upon it alone or primarily or on a reaction against it can be secure or assured of completeness. First, it is a knowledge of our superficial mental activities and its experiences. Secondly, it is a knowledge only of being and becoming as limited to the individual self and its experiences. As long as all this is there, we have not really taken a new birth. The beauty of new birth, Mother speaks about it, is that it just goes away. You remember, you know that, you know, you are this, you were this idiot fellow, but you have changed completely. None of your responses or this thing are the same. Thirdly, the true relation between the being and the becoming has not been worked out on the basis of perfect self-knowledge. So when there is a state when the ego knows, okay, this was the child, this is the adult. You are not behaving childishly, but you are enjoying still that state. Because you know it is you. Like the typical example. And you like when people talk about your childhood, today you did that. But when there is a change, a new birth, it carries no meaning. It carries a meaning only in the sense of a stepping stone. It's gone. That's what is new birth. And that's what in the deepest sense is having freedom from karma. This I'm saying based on a true experience that you are freed. Even while you are living in the same body, you are freed from the whole karma. It may show itself even as a, you know, visions and other experiences. It's completely gone. You are not at all that. But you remember, because you are in the same body, that you were this. Yes, it is true. But you are completely, that is gone. And then, of course, there are successive new births in this yoga, which is a different story altogether. So he is taking us still further, that all these are still the ego experience. Our surface existence is only a surface, and it is there that there is the full reign of the ignorance. To know, we have to go within ourselves and see with an inner knowledge. Then the whole values change. Ordinarily, when somebody dies who has been close to you, you cry. But when you have this deeper state, you don't cry. It's so clear that there is no death. The person is going really on a journey which is onwards. And sometimes it can unnerve people who are around. At least with me, it was like my mother died, and not that I didn't love her, but the same afternoon I went for a class, took a class, and people were, because people came to know, so they didn't know. So the word went around that lagta hai abhi pura ho gaya. But then I was just the same person, was just growing along. And equally there are periods of life when you have gone through a whole set of circumstances. That time you are identified with it, you react to it, and then they just are taken away as a not needed load.
It's gone. You cannot identify with anything of that, and yet you know that you were the same idiot. And yet you were not that. So all these are phenomena, and removal of karma is all real. It's not just, normally they say you have to go through the karma bhogna, but the divine grace completely can annul it. You are a new person completely. That past has no hold over you. So all this, of course, is profound wisdom which one can experience. All that is formulated on the surface is a small and diminished representation of our secret greater existence. The immobile self in us is found only when the outer mental and vital activities are quieted. That's why too much of interaction with past people, friends, family is not very healthy and conducive for the true spiritual life. Unless one can really practice that inner detachment and equanimity. Because it's very difficult. You that association continues. It prevents that in all systems, not only here. Sometimes Sri Aurobindo would say, if your mother is not well, you pray for her from here. It'll have more effect. If you don't understand this by experience, you feel, why is he preventing? To somebody else, he will say, yes, go. Of course, he knew when to go and when not to go. But someone else who doesn't understand will only think this is being very insensitive. It's not insensitive. It's gone completely. You are a new person, a very different person. And you have to value that because it's a gift of the grace. It's not something which is randomly happening. It's not that you are detached, unconcerned. No. You have everything. And yet that affection is taking a different form, a new form. You would rather say that go peacefully rather than hold on to and cling on to. So all these are things which he is giving us in a nutshell. So when they are quieted, for since it is seated deep within and is represented on the surface only by the intuitive sense of self-existence and misrepresented by the mental, vital, physical, ego sense. This is the intuitive sense of the self. But vital, mental, physical, they come in and say, yes, I am the one. Like, you know, when the Malik is sleeping, all the Gana, they will come and say, you know, I am the divine. Later on you will go there to the samadhi. First you handle me. You are meeting me. I am. My permission. But actually it's not true. So same way our mental, vital, physical make give us a false representation that this is me. While the true self is laughing at all this. As Tagore says in one of his poems, Jagannath Rath. He says, Rath Pot Bhave Ami Dev. Why the road is thinking I am God? Because everybody is falling on the path. So people sometimes come and touch your feet. One should never carry illusion. I am somebody. He's just customary. That's it. So path bhave ami dev. Rath bhave ami dev. Rath is thinking, no. This path is full. I am the one. They are going to the Rath. What about the murti? Murti bhave ami dev. And then he gives a master stroke. Hase antaryami. God is loving inside. So this is how our mental, vital, physical ego believe that they are the self. But actually, they are not the self. They are only representations. They can be good representations and instruments. They are not illusions. They can be good managers. Or they can be very bad manager. They may take the chadhava which has to go to the divine. Praise, dekha, mera hua na. Kon ho tum? Without the divine, we are nothing. But, you know, usually one gets into that state. So, but also the dynamic parts of a surface being, we have just few more minutes, are similarly diminished figures of greater things that are there in the depths of our secret nature. Somebody says you are very loving. There is only one love. Somebody says you are very intelligent. Don't take it to heart. Next moment, somebody will prove to you, you are a fool. And that person may be in your own home. So always remember, it is given by the divine for his work. Not me. But very often the mental, vital, physical ego become claimant to what they have no right. They are only instruments. The surface memory, they are diminished figures. The surface memory itself is a fragmentary and ineffective action, pulling out details from an inner subliminal memory, which receives and records all our world experience, receives and records even what the mind has not observed, understood or noticed. All this is gone inside. And the surface memory is drawing from that bank. Our surface imagination is a selection from a vaster, more creative and effective subliminal image building power of consciousness. It's a fascinating question. I used to ask this. Why certain times certain imaginations come? Conscious imagination is okay, guided imagery. Sometimes suddenly the mind throws certain images. It can be, you can identify with them. Like when I was discovering the different personalities in me, I discovered one of them persistently wants to be a hero who is saving someone. I used to say, why is this coming? Is it coming from a movie or where is it coming? It's an ego. But that moment your whole being starts believing it. That's one personality. Another personality would come and be something different. So there are different aspects of personality which we can discover. And what is the string connecting them? But there is a selection. A mind with immeasurably wider and more subtle perception. A life energy with a greater dynamism. A subtle physical substance with a larger and finer receptivity are building out of themselves our surface evolution. So this hero thing used to come, hero panthi, not because of movie. But as a child I used to feel Devasur Sangram ho raha hai aur main Deva ki taraf se ladunga. And this was such a strong impression that once in a train, I'm just narrating ki how these things connect. So in a train when most of the people were Muslims and my father, myself and my sister, 7-year-old, looking out of the window, and these people asked, beta kya soch raha hai? They were very happy, you know, he's like a philosopher thinking of something. So I didn't very like it because you're lost in your reverie. So I said, main Bhagwan se shakti mang raha. I don't know why I said. I have no clue why I said. Shakti mang raha. So okay, that's nice. So they asked, Noor Chacha, I still remember, poor fellow. Haan beta, shakti kyun chahiye? Musalmanon ka nash karne ke liye. Now you know my father next to me, my sister. Kya bola? Nahi. Oh, kya bola? Tu dekhta rahe ho khidki bahar. I just remember this. I don't know why I said. But if somebody asked me what you want to become in life, my thing was Devasur Sangram mein devtaon ki taraf se ladna chahta hu. Is that a job description? No. Some kind of memory. And that led to a lot of playing as if that, whereas it was all a ego play. But because deep inside something is carried. So there is something which is deep inside. Then on the surface, the mental, vital, physical ego, you want to unnecessarily get into trying to help people as if you are someone. But you are none of this. And you have to go much beyond even that. So this is how the whole thing operates. And if you observe in every nature, it is there. And there is a whole story in Bible about the Good Samaritan about it. So they are building. There are subtler memories, subtler aspects of this. A psychic entity is there behind these occult activities. When you discover, then you understand. Achha, ye to tarange uth rahi thi andar se. What is true heroism? Then you read and the mother and you understand to slay your ego. The most difficult task. You know? That's how Bhule Shah puts it. That isse ladya, usse ladya, apni nafas tu ladya nahi. Nafas is ego. He says you have fought with everybody. Have you fought with your ego? Then you understand that look here, real heroism is to die to the ego. Mother would write that, no? What is true heroism?
And she would say the real heroism is to die to your own ego, to slay your ego. But you have to go through these experiences, then the psychic, the moment you touch, you realize you are a little baby. All this heropanti has no meaning. The real baby is always turned to the mother, and the mother does what she has to do, and no more you can claim anything. So this is the psychic entity, which is the true support of her individualization. The ego is only an outward false substitute. He is not saying it is delusion. But whatever is taking place in the ego is basically because the psychic entity is giving promptings, but the ego is unable to get the true message. It starts usurping it, believing it is that, and then the surface personality messes it up altogether. That's why the integral yoga, where Shobhinda says your very surface must change. If that doesn't change, the transformation is not complete. And that takes obviously time. So the psychic entity that supports and holds together our self-experience and world experience, the mental, vital, physical, external ego, is a superficial construction of nature. It is only when we have seen both our self and our nature as a whole, in the depths as well as on the surface, that we can acquire a true basis of knowledge. So we completed this chapter is complete. So we'll stop here, and February when we meet, we'll continue with the next chapter. But tomorrow we have in Savitri Bhavan.